Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 this evening. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture here. 1 Kings chapter 8. Maybe we'll start reading with about the fifth verse. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 5. I'll read the text and then give you what God had spoke to my heart about. I've been preparing this message, and the Lord just seemed to bring everything together at the right time. And it couldn't be a more fitting day than today, this being the day that we honored our veterans. And I'm glad that we can do that here in the church. You know, there's a lot of churches that don't like that, but I appreciate our church for what you do, for patriotism. I think that we ought to thank God that we live in the country that we live in, and praise God that we have the right to do what we're doing here tonight. And we should never, ever take that for granted, and those that have served our great nation. 1 Kings chapter 8, and let's begin reading with verse 5. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, which just simply means the holiest place of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves. I have that phrase underlined. They drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I want to focus in on that last verse, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now, as Candy and I are getting older, we face the reality of some things. And one of the things we face the reality of is that with our grandchildren, they grow up quicker than our children did. And as grandparents, it's easy to get out of touch with your grandchildren for what they like. And when they're a certain age, you still want to buy things for them like they're little, but now they're growing up. And it's hard on us to accept it. We say all the time, we don't feel any older at our birthday. We feel older at our children's birthdays and grandchildren's birthdays. And a few days ago, to stay in touch, we always try to get our grandchildren aside and talk to them, especially when Christmas is coming up, to see what they want for Christmas. So a few days ago, we were all together, and Candy sat down, and I know I'm going to say a dirty word here to a lot of you, but we got a catalog out. I still like books. I still like something I can put in my hand. I'm not against technology. I just like that. And it can be on your phone or any other means that you communicate with, but yet with us, if it's on our phone, we just do good to get ours unlocked and use it. And we'd never find it if it was in there. So with a catalog, we get it for free. And all you have to do is give them a pencil or a pen or a marker and say, mark what you want. And that gives us the idea. So one of the grandkids was on Candy's lap or sitting beside of her. And they were going through, and you know every page. I want that. And I want that. And I want that. And I'm sitting there listening, thinking, now they don't think we're going to buy all that, surely. But they were telling her what they wanted. And then they said something. Oh, Nana, I really want that. So she circled that twice. Then, of course, communicate with mom and dad to make sure everybody doesn't get the same thing. When I read that verse, that the priest could not stand to minister for the cloud, and that the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, I said, oh God, I really want that. I want that for Rubyville. I really want that. I've been preaching the past few weeks on prayer, one of the keys to spiritual power. And tonight I'm continuing on the theme of spiritual power to say, I really want that. Now, it's strange to believe, but there's people in our church that get angry when the power of God comes and people get blessed. For the life of me, I don't understand why people get mad when people get blessed. Preach on, Cal. I'm trying to. I could use some help to. I don't understand that. I really don't. You think of me whatever you want. You just chalk yourself up to another form and fashion of religion. The thing that separates our church from so many churches. It's not that we're better than anyone else. But listen, a lot of churches have good programs and they have a lot of things going for them. They got a lot of money. But the truth of the matter is, the unsaved world could care in the least what your building looks like. They could care in the least how many degrees the pastor has. They could care in the least what kind of program you hand them when they come in the door. What they want is to come into a place where they know that the presence of God is there. And we need a place that we know the glory of God is welcome at all times and any time to fill this place until we can no longer stand to minister in the house of God for the glory of God that fills the house of God. Spiritual power. You say, well, I don't like all that shouting. I'm going to preach the shingles off your roof tonight then. I like it. So you're going to have to do one of two things. You're either going to have to change or pray me out. Because if we become like a run-of-the-mill church, it won't be long until folks will cease to come. I'm telling you, when you're in the heat of the battle and you're facing things that you cannot take care of yourself, you want to be somewhere where God rules and reigns with all power and all authority and know that God still answers prayer. There was a fishing vessel from Greenland that got stuck among the icebergs. They were fearing for their life, not wondering what they were going to do. Early the next morning, the captain saw a huge vessel moving slowly just a few hundred yards from the ship. He asked them to drop a lifeboat which can still maneuver through the icebergs. He pulls alongside of that big ship with that lifeboat. And he cries out, "Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy!" No answer. They move along the side of the ship, him crying out, "Ship ahoy!" No answer. The crew member said, "What will we do, Captain?" He said, "Let's board the ship." When they boarded the ship, he said he was amazed. He said, "Every person on the crew and the captain, everyone on that boat had died, and their skeletons were at the proper post. The captain was where he should have been, behind the helm of the ship. Every person that served, they could look at their uniforms and tell that they were all in the proper position at the proper post." And he said what alarmed him was when he looked at the logbook and realized that vessel had been drifting for 13 years. 13 years with every crew member in the proper place, but they were all dead. I'm telling you, we live in an age where churches put every person in the right position and everyone's got the proper place. But what we've got is a dead crew. And we need the power of God to come and bring us life again. Private Earl Sawyers was killed in one of the great battles in American history. They brought him back to his hometown, Farmington, Maine. They arrived with his body on November the 15th. That particular year, a hard freeze had hit early in Upper Maine. The ground was frozen and they could not bury him. They kept him in the parlor. And it was almost May before they could finally see the ground thaw out enough to bury him. They kept his corpse in the parlor for all of those months waiting to bury him. I'm here to tell you folks, I go into a lot of churches that there's dead corpses in the parlor. What they need is to be buried. And the reason that they have died is they have lost the touch of the reality of the need for the power of God. The Korean War, you can call it the Korean conflict, but from the individuals that I talked that served in the Korean War, they knew they were in a war. It was more than a conflict. If history serves my mind correctly, on what I've studied, there were over 43,000 casualties in the Korean War. Do you know why that we suffer the greatest loss of casualties among that 43,000? The greatest loss of casualties came because the ammunition depot was destroyed by the enemy. So the military of the Allies were there working and fighting. They had plenty of artillery, but they had no ammunition, and they were stranded without any power to fight the enemy. And that's why we took on so many losses. I'm here to tell you the church is suffering a lot of losses because we don't have the power of God on us. If the power of God is on us and the glory of God is in us, then I think that we can see the enemy of our soul, the devil, overcome every time. God has not changed. When the first temple was erected by Solomon, God said it took the power of God. And today, here in this year, it still takes the power of God in God's house for anything to happen. Two key things I focused in when I read that text was the temple and the priest. Both experienced the glory of God. The temple was filled with the glory of God. And the priest experienced the glory of God. You know, an amazing thing about that was both the priest and the temple, both had to be sanctified and consecrated. By the time you get to the New Testament, you find that the parallel between, why did God have a temple? Was it just to offer up sacrifices? Well, it was a type and shadow of the sacrifices that were to come. But yet, these sacrifices that were to come that we read about, it was also a type and shadow of us as believers. Because now, as a believer, we are the priest. And as a believer, this is the temple. Your body is the temple. See, he likens the believer and the church under the temple. That was the type or pattern of the church and the way it should operate. The temple was set up until there were three parts to the temple. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy or holiest of holies, if you prefer to call it that. And that in this passage is referred to as the oracle. So don't confuse the two. They passed through the holy place on the way to the oracle, the holiest of holies. Now, to experience that in our life, we have to understand that's the way that we're set up. Three parts to us. There is the outer court, the body. There is the inner court, the spirit. And there is the secret room that nobody has access to in this world, except us and God. And it's the soul. So what God is really saying, he's concerned about the glory starting in the soul and then moving out to the spirit until finally those on the outside can see and experience the same glory of God. To have that glory, it's just three simple things that has to take place. Here they are. First of all, the priest had to carry the ark, a symbol of God's presence, to the holiest of holies. They had to get God's presence in the deepest part, in the secret chamber of the temple of God. As a believer, if we're going to see the house of God filled with the glory of God, as individuals, we're going to have to be filled with the glory of God. And the way we get filled with the glory of God, we have to let God go into the secret place of our soul. And there, realizing that's the place where all of the issues of life come out. The place where our heart is seated spiritually. That's the place that God wants full control of. They had to go into that place and take the presence of God. There's some people that experience the presence of God as an overflow on their body. They'll say something like this: "Ooh, I had goosebumps. Ooh, it made me tingle when I was in that service." There's some people that it gets inside their head and it gets inside their spirit. But God says it needs to go deeper than that. You see, the difference is this: if it just touches our body, then in a day or two we've forgotten all about it. If it touches our spirit, we may remember it a little longer. But you let the glory of God fill your soul, and you are ruined in this world. You don't feel at home anymore. You realize God is there for everything that you feel, everything that you need, every experience you have. It takes the glory of God in the depths of our soul. They had to carry it into the secret place. Do you know why you keep falling into the same sin? Why you quit certain things and keep going back to it? Why there's people that should be in church tonight that's not in church? You know why there's no change in their life? Because the presence of God doesn't get in the secret place. They lock the door and say, "God, you can go this far, but no farther. I'm keeping that pet sin. I'm keeping that pet attraction. I'm holding that to myself." But the truth of the matter is, we've got to let God have all of us. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it being filled with the Holy Ghost. You can call it being sanctified. You can call it being consecrated. But you better make sure you get it. Make sure that the glory of God is farther than just touching our body and touching our spirit. Make sure that the glory of God gets way down inside of us to do a wonder work inside of our soul. When they get it there and place it there, they didn't stop. Had they stopped on the outer court, the glory of God would have never filled the house of God. Had they stopped at the inner court, the glory of God would have never filled the house of God. They had to get it as far on the inside as it could possibly go. When they got it there, the next thing they did, they drew out the staves. Now the staves were used for carrying the ark. That ark had been carried through the tabernacle. That ark had been carried into battles. That ark had been carried through the wilderness. But now the ark has a home. The presence of God has a place to dwell. And he says, "I want that to go into the innermost part of my house." He's saying your body is the temple, but he wants the presence of God to go as deep inside of us as possible. And when that gets there, take the staves out. What's that mean? God says it's a picture of finality. Let that get to that place and leave it there. Don't plan on taking it out tomorrow or next week or next year. Let it stay. I hear all the time, "Oh, if we could just have great services, and then once we have great services, that will do us for a while." No, we need the glory of God to fill this place every time we gather. Every time we gather, there's a need that can only be met through God's people seeking God and the glory of God being there. Somebody came tonight needing healing. Somebody came tonight need encouragement. Somebody came tonight needing salvation. Somebody came tonight in doubt of whether God really exists or not. It takes the glory of God. Leave it there. But then the last thing, they had to withdraw themselves. They took the presence of God to where it was, and then the priest had to leave. They had to come without. On the way out, they pulled the staves out with them. Now the staves can be seen in the holy place, not in the outer court, but in the holy place. But they still can't see, visibly see, the presence of God. No one here tonight can see the presence of God. We can see evidence of it when it comes to the body, but no one can visibly see the presence of God. Nobody can look into anybody else's heart and see what's inside their heart tonight. But he said, when you pull it out, back away. In other words, God said, if you do what I tell you to do, there comes a place where you've got to leave the rest to me. You've got to leave it entirely in my hands. By them withdrawing from the holiest of holies, what they were saying is, Lord, I have done what you have commanded. I have obeyed you. I'm not trying to change it. I'm not trying to do it some different way. I'm doing it just the way you commanded it in your word. And withdraw. The glory would have never come if they'd have stayed in the holiest of holies. It wouldn't have come. By the way, the glory is never coming inside your heart as long as you stay on the throne of your heart. The glory is never coming inside of your soul as long as you take something else in there and leave it. You have to take God's presence and God's presence alone and leave it there. Is that Bible? Well, I'll give you the verses God gave me to believers now, let's tie it to us. Number one, we are to carry that ark, the presence of God, into the holy place. Romans 12:1 tells us we are to present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Number two, we are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bring it into captivity every thought. If you're sitting there tonight thinking about what you're going to do after church and thinking about where you're going to eat, or you're thinking about what's going on right now, what you're missing here and what you're missing there, you have not brought every captivity of your thought to the Lord. Our thought has to be on God. We need to bring into subjection our thoughts to the Lord. Thoughts are not sin, but thoughts are the seed for sin to take place. And then the third thing, the Bible says we have to let the peace of God rule in our heart. That's what the Word of God says. Let the peace of God rule in our heart. On the inside, we have to say, God's peace is enough for me, and I don't need anything else. You know, there's some things that if you try it and tempt it, you're going to find out that all you're going to do is hurt yourself. I read an interesting article the other day. You mind if I just read it to you? It said a man rocked a boat to see if it would tip. It did. A worker stepped on a nail to see if it could penetrate his boot. It did. A man looked down the barrel of a loaded gun to see if it was loaded. It was. A plumber smelled gas and lit a match to see if he could find the leak. He did. A young person tried drugs and alcohol to see if it would addict them. And it did. A lot of Christians today live their life just as foolishly as those individuals, trying God and tempting God and trying to find some other avenue and some other way, when it's simply this. We've got to say, God, I want Your presence to go as deep inside of me as Your presence can be. And then I'll back off. And You get all the glory. They no longer saw the priest. They saw the glory of God. If the church is going to be the church that God wants it to be in the days ahead, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to find a generation of people that still want the power of God. I don't know what it will take for you. Each one has to ask herself the question, what will it take for me to have the power of God in the secret place of my heart? It may take fasting. It may take sacrifice. It may take a lot of things that we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'll pay that price. To let Your presence get to the secret room in my heart and You do a work in me. You'll find you'll pray different. You'll worship different. You'll be different. Simply put, do you want this church to be filled with God's glory? Do you really want this place to be filled with God's glory? You want it filled with God's glory to a point that when the preacher takes the pulpit, their legs won't hold them up because they can't stand to minister because of the glory of God? The devil has never had a stronger grip in this nation than what he has right now. And it will take the glory of God to break those shackles and to see God come in a great way. The glory of God filled the house of God. I want that. Hey, Lord, I really want that. Circle that one twice. I really want that. I'm going to quit listening to those that are naysayers that try to discourage me, try to say there's something wrong with worshiping God. Oh, no, Lord, I really want that. If you want it, you can have it, we can have it. Let's stand together as they come to sing. And if God touches your heart tonight, I pray that you'll come from your place and find you a place here to seek the Lord and say, God, I want Your presence to get inside of me so deep. I don't want my ship to be filled with a dead crew. I want my ship to be filled with life on this voyage that I'm on. I want the glory of God to fill the temple.